Welcome, Chris. We have a double agenda today, and I am very excited to introduce our mystery guest. A little later in the program, we're going to be having a wonderful announcement about WPPA 2023-24, and it's exciting to have so many here. Well, as I was saying before the meeting started, I don't know why we went with the mystery guest, because if I just said Phil Zimbardo was going to be with us, I think I would have had an opportunity to have not had time to introduce everybody, but this is a meeting, I'm glad to say. I want to introduce Phil Zimbardo. He's the great Pied Piper of psychology. He's a researcher and educator. He graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Brooklyn College with summa cum laude honors in psychology, sociology, and anthropology. Yale University PhD, and Phil has received many honorary doctoral degrees from universities around the world. He has been teaching and a lifetime achievement awards. He's past APA president and twice WPA president, and he has a 50-page CV with over 15 books that he's written, including the most recent, Zimbardo, My Life Revealed, 2021, The Demise of Guys, Man Interrupted, Man Disconnected, The Time Paradox, Time Cure, The Lucifer Effects, The Psychology of Attitude Change and Social Influence, Shyness, and The Cognitive Control of Motivation, as well as many others, not to mention Discovering Psychology, Psychology in Life, and more. Indeed, his textbook, Psychology in Life, published across multi-language translation, has a video series, Discovering Psychology, are featuring original footage from original psychologists going back for the last century. He founded the Philip G. Zimbardo Foundation 2005 in Sicily, Italy, and he is the president and founder of the Heroic Imagination Project, dedicated to encouraging and exploring everyday heroism. And today, we bring him here to our community, Positive Psychology. His talk at WPA was from so well received. Phil, we'd like to bring you in and ask you, what do you have to share your life journey that brought you from creating evil to exploring and generating everyday heroes in our lives?
Thank you, Sherry. I'm wearing a mask because I discovered yesterday I have COVID. Sad. So that's why my throat is sore. And I wear this. My wife takes care of me, but she's negative. So I got used to wearing the mask all the time, but I'll take it off now, so I'm not a mystery guest anymore. So I want to start with an unusual challenge. It's a famous line from a movie, and I'd like you to think if you know who said it and which and who and the movie, and why was the bad guys in this movie ultimately turned out to be good guys? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. It's a famous movie about the Godfather. The writer is Mario Puzo. And the line is, the Godfather discovers that there's a policeman that they've been paying, a patrolman who has betrayed them. And he sends his son, Michael Corleone. The Godfather is Don Corleone, if you remember. And he sends his son, Michael Corleone, who's just out of college, he's a young kid, to say, have coffee, espresso in an Italian restaurant. So they said it's an Italian restaurant. And Michael's tells the guy, you know, we have evidence that you betrayed us, that you know, you told authorities where we live. And the guy said, oh, no, I never would do that. And then with the gun, the gun was under the tabletop. They had previously put it there. So he takes the gun and shoots the guy in the stomach. And the guy falls down. And then the instruction is, you know, leave the gun, but take the cannoli. Cannoli is an Italian delicacy. So it's a great line. And then what people don't realize is that then the son, Michael, when the father dies, he becomes the head of this Don Corleone, the head of this house. But the interesting turntable is that they refuse to sell drugs. That, you know, that all of these really gangs, they made money, you know, in various ways. But all the other houses said, it's time for us now to make big money selling drugs. And Don Corleone and Michael said, no, we refuse to do that. That we are not drug pushers. And then what happened was all of the other, in quote, houses said, okay, then we have to eliminate you, that you are a threat. And so again, in the movie, the other houses would try to kill people from the Don Corleone's house. But so the good thing is, you know, at the end says, we don't sell drugs. You know, drugs enslave people, especially young people and women. You know, so he was out of all of this, you know, murder and mayhem throughout the movie, it's Godfather 1, Godfather 2. They end up being on the side of good to say, you know, selling drugs is an evil business that we don't want to participate in. Anyway, it's a long story about, remember the line, leave the gun, take the cannoli. Now, I should say, unfortunately, I had told Sherry that just a couple of days ago, I realized I have COVID-19. And that's why I have difficulty talking with my little... In fact, I just got out of bed to do this event with you. No, it just makes me tired and sluggish. And I, as many of you know, I usually have endless energy. And now that energy has come to an end. Not an end, it's nearing. So the other thing I'll mention very briefly is that in my talk at WPA, and I hope I see you all at Riverside at our next presentation. I don't think I will go if I am healthy. I don't think I will give a lecture because the last one I gave was my last lecture. But probably I will introduce Christina if she gives a keynote presentation. And Riverside is a great great. Host city, host place for our convention.
Can I coax you, Phil, to make a comment about your turn to the importance of heroes in our lives? Yeah. What about heroes? Heroes and the positive role models. What's the importance? Can you help us? Give us some thoughts on that, please.
Yeah. Absolutely. I talked about that in my WPA talk last year, but also it's in the Lucifer Effect, chapter 50, chapter the first 15 chapters are all about evil, of the prison study, of Abu Ghraib tortures, of Americans torturing Iranian prisoners. But then the last chapter, I flipped it and said, we now know how easy it is for ordinary people to do evil. How about everyday people becoming heroes? And so I first started to write about and think about, what does it mean to be a hero? And curiously, the word hero itself, when I wrote that, I think it was 2010, did not exist in psychology. There was no psychology of heroism. There were no mentions of heroes in the lexicon at all. So then I said, okay, I'm going to start a heroic imagination project, a foundation, nonprofit foundation, where our goal is to create everyday heroes, starting ideally with kids, that kids will, so a hero takes action to change negatives into positives. So everyday heroes are people who go beyond simply being compassionate, because they take, heroes act. That the difference between being a compassionate person and a hero is heroes take action, physical action, verbal action. They stand up for people who are weak. They stand up for a society that is going in a wrong direction. So essentially we wanted to promote the idea of anyone could be a hero. Young people, older people, men and women. And then I started a heroic imagination project, a foundation, where I created lessons in how to be a hero. And our project now has, I've stepped down, I'm honorary president, but I've stepped down now, and a young man in Australia, Matt Langdon, is the head. He's the head of the new hip project. And what's exciting is because he's in Australia so far, he is bringing our hero project ideas around the world to a dozen nations, to poor people in Sicily, to Senegal, to Hungary, to Poland, many, 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 many places. And then he and his team physically go to these places. And what's exciting is my 90th birthday is coming in March, it'll be March 23rd. But on the week of March 15th, we're going to have a celebration in San Francisco, a Zim extravaganza. and we rented a movie theater. We're going to have speakers, we're going to have the heads of our program from around the world come in, from England, from, as I said, Germany, Sicily, etc. I'll give Shari the information about where it is, when it is, and we hope many of you will come to join us. It'll be an interesting celebration.
It'll be fantastic, Phil. Your program, the Heroic Imagination Project, was already throughout Europe, and people had taken it up here in the United States as well. College professors were using it in their college classes. The best part of the Heroic Imagination Project was that everyday heroes, everyday people could do those positive things. You talked about going from the dark side of creating evil to celebrating the positive. Do you have some comments about the positive in life?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is heroes are the celebration of goodness in our life. Mm-hmm. Heroes always take a risk. Sometimes you take a risk helping somebody and you get shot by, or you get run over by a car, or something bad could happen to you. So heroes, in the act of being, they never say they're heroes, in the act of helping. So heroes represent positive psychology at its best. They are always helping others in need, and they do it aware that there are risks, there are dangers, there are pitfalls that and we're saying it doesn't have to be a dramatic heroes as in The Godfather. It could be helping a handicapped person across the street. It could be helping pick up somebody who's an old person like me who's fallen down, you know. So essentially, so we give, you know, we give many examples in our program now. And we have now new lessons, not the traditional ones of don't be a bystander. We have new lessons on online programs where young people can tune in and go through our lessons, you know, because before we used to had to be a class that the lessons were I would present the lessons to a group of teachers, and then the teachers would use my information in their lectures. But now we've streamlined it, so it can all be online, and it could be individual with feedback from one of our tutors.
It's a great program. Phil, maybe I could take a moment, and I don't want to tire you out too much, but we could take a couple of questions from our people here in the community today, that someone might have a question for Phil.
And yeah, let's do that, and then I got to go back to bed.
I hear you. So okay. Do we have someone who has a question for Phil before we send him back to rest and heal?
Nope.
Yeah, we have Cindy, I think.
Cindy? Yeah, Cindy.
I would like to know which of your many, many areas of research are you the most proud? What are you the proudest of?
Oh, it's the celebration of heroism. Because it does represent the positive in human nature. I should mention that the my Stanford Prison Experiment, which was done in 1971, had its 50th anniversary recently, and it remains the single most popular item in psychology archives, the teaching of psychology, and it's primarily because I created with physical staging. There was a prison-like setting. We had prisoners and guards had costumes. We made online ongoing videos, and so it really was like I was the movie maker. So the experiment itself, as it was unfolding, was really. It was really a movie in the making, the movie of the dark side of human nature. And then the positive thing, and this is what I'll end with, is where I first got interested in heroes is I had been dating a woman, a young professor at University of California, Berkeley, Christina Maslach, Maslach, and I invited her. We had just started living together in San Francisco, and I had invited her down to see the experiment because And then I said, come down, and afterwards we could go out and have a, you know, late dinner together, because I have not left this basement for, you know, for 5 days. And when she came down and she saw the terrible things that the guards, the make-believe guards were doing to the make-believe prisoners, you know, really hitting them and doing terrible things, he said, how, you know, we were looking at it through the video from observation room into the prison yard. And she said, these are not prisoners. These are not guards. They're students. And you love students, and students love you. What's become of you? If, you know, and then I started arguing about, is it the best demonstration of the power of the situation? And she said, stop. If this is the real you, I don't think I want to continue our relationship, because I don't know who you are. You have become, you have become evil. And so I said, oh my God, you're right. And we said, let's have dinner. And then I said, I will end the experiment the next day, which I then did. So she's a hero, Christina, the first hero who stood up to authority. You know, I was obviously her senior. I had been her mentor of her thesis at Stanford, but she stood up to authority. So she's the first of an array of women heroes, of female heroes, that we honor today.
Phil, that's an amazing story, and I know Christina is your hero, but candidly, you are our hero for bringing this so candidly, and your humility, and hopping out of a COVID-19 bed. Thank you so much. I know you're not feeling well. Appreciate you coming and joining us. Thank you for being my professor in 1970 and a lifelong friend and mentor. Thank you, Phil, for giving so much to the world. Let's give a round of applause to Phil. And I'm going to take a quick screenshot of everybody, if you will keep on clapping. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. Well, we are here now with our big announcement. I'm going to turn the floor over to the director of the Western Positive Psych Association, Stuart Donaldson, and take it away, Stuart.
Hey, well, before we do that, it's a pretty rare sort of event that Shari has created for us here today to see one of, you know, the most prolific, you know, leaders and pioneers in the field of psychology. And what has struck me most about his writings and career is how, after doing so many social psych, you know, experiments and contributions, how he's flipped over to, you know, what we're all, you know, here to talk about, which is sort of the good side of human nature. And for Shari to get him out of his COVID bed to come talk with us while she's also sick, I think we deserve giving Shari a big round of applause for that very special occasion she just delivered for us. I know we'll all remember this one. That was really great, Shari. Thank you. Well, on the topic of heroes, I know the person I'm going to talk about now is many of your hero, is a hero for many of you, and has become a hero for me as well. We, you know, got sort of changed and affected by this COVID pandemic, and we still you know, see people getting it, like Phil, which has moved us into online space. And, you know, we've done some keynotes, and now we have this great practice going with all of you. But Bruce Smith, Professor Smith from University of New Mexico, has stepped up and is going to host our next in-person WPA, which will occur. I'll let him say when it will occur. But Bruce has brought students from New Mexico and colleagues over the years to the in-person WPAs we've had in Claremont. And we've always had the vision now of moving it to other universities. So I hope all of you can, you know, get excited about this and make the trip to New Mexico. But let me turn it over to you, Bruce, to tell us a little bit about your ideas, your planning. And again, thank you so much for taking this on. I think it's really going to be a major event in the history of WPPA.
Well, thank you so much for your introduction, and I am so glad that so many people are here today from New Mexico, so we can all share this together. Because Paul Smith and I have kind of been leaders of the group, but one of the things we want to make sure is, as we go forward with this, that we're not alone, that we do this together. And and following Phil Zimbardo is of course impossible, but I can say a few things about him. What number one is that I've been showing his TED talk about the Heroic Imagination Project for the past five or six years, and most of the students here have probably watched it and you know, had to comment on that. So I was just wonderful to be able to see him. And his whole idea of hero being somebody who really reaches out to make turn negative to positive with someone else, I think fits very well for the kind of thing that we're talking about doing in our conference. So we have about, I don't know, 10 to 15 people who have been meeting regularly talking about what we're going to do. And the last time we talked, a couple of weeks ago before Thanksgiving, somebody used a phrase that seemed to bring it together for us in terms of a theme that we'd like to focus on. And the phrase was from me to we. And what we want to do is we really want to help to do something that I think is fit well for the third wave of positive psychology. We want to do something that really enables us not only to focus on how positive psychology affects us as individuals, but how we can also bring it more to affect our community life together. As we've